Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the only tropical fish podcast that is hosted live on the air. Join the passionate tropical fish keeper, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, for a fun and educational tropical fish episode. This is the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, where freshwater and saltwater fish and aquariums are discussed. Aqua Alex has over 12 years of fish keeping experience and over 3 years of podcasting experience. He will show you his passion for tropical fish with this episode. You can call in live at 516-418-5674 to chat tropical fish and join the chat. Now, let's chat fish. Here's Aqua Alex live from his fish room next to his 125-gallon aquarium in West Palm Beach, Florida. Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast is now live.
Hello, tropical fish keepers, and welcome to a very special episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, coming to you from my fish room right here in West Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to our second live episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I have a very awesome episode in store, and I hope it's an episode that has a lot of interaction. This is our first of many interactive shows where listeners and fish keepers can be a part of the show by calling in and telling me their favorite fish. I'm going to do a couple shows like this throughout the year where fish keepers can interact with the show and be part of the show so that the show is for them. Because I do this show, my podcast, for fish keepers, and I want fish keepers to be a part of the show. So today we are talking about our favorite fish. And when I say our, I'm talking about all the fish keepers in the aquarium hobby. I'm going to tell you about some of my personal favorite fish, and I'm going to give you information on these fish, and then hopefully we'll have some callers calling in tonight to tell us about their favorite fish as well. So you can call in live at 516-418-5674 to tell me about your favorite fish species. It could be any number of fish. I want to hear your favorite fish species, so please go and call in 516-418-5674. Again, to call in and talk about your favorite fish species, please call in at 516-418-5674. Now, as I mentioned earlier, all throughout the show, I will be telling you about some of my personal favorite fish species, and I will give you some information on them. I will be doing both freshwater and saltwater fish. So let's get this fun show started right now. I hope to have some callers tonight, and I hope to hear from some fish keepers talking about their favorite fish. Now, I'm sure over the last 3 or 4 years, you've heard me say that I've had a lot of favorite fish. And it's true. I love my fish. And I do have very many favorite fish species. I cannot single out a single species of fish and call it my favorite. I can't do that because I'd be lying. I have so many species of fish that I consider to be my favorites. and ones that I hold near and dear to my heart. So I have a lot of them, and I figured I'd tell you all my personal favorite fish on one episode, and it's both freshwater and saltwater. So my first favorite fish is the silver arowana, now also known as the water monkey. I'm a big, huge arowana fan, and silver arowanas are my particular favorite because I love the orange coloration that they have on their fins, and I also love the silver and pink hue that they get when they grow up. Now, silver arowanas do get quite big. They can be 3 to 4 feet in length, so they do require a massive aquarium. We're talking about 220 gallons up to a pond, but they are a fun fish to keep. They are very interesting to watch eat, and I enjoy their personalities. They are jumpers, so you would need a lid to keep a silver arowana, but it is a fish that I would recommend to people who love monster fish. Now, on arowanas, my next favorite fish is an arowana I have yet to keep, but I have plans on keeping this fish, and that is the black arowana. Now, black arowanas are from South America, just like the silver arowana. In fact, the silver arowana and black arowanas are the only arowanas from South America. The difference being the black arowana is actually black and blue with orange coloration, a very beautiful arowana when it's a juvenile and subadult, but then it darkens to a black color as it gets older, and it's very thin in compared to the silver arowana and other arowanas. It's an elongated arowana. I heard they're a little bit more docile than, say, a silver arowana, but they're still a pretty cool arowana in my book. So silver arowana and black arowanas are my two favorite arowanas. Now, I do like the Giardini arowana. However, they are so aggressive that they have to be kept by themselves. They have the potential to kill all their tank mates. And I don't like a single fish per tank. I like to have tank mates in my aquarium. So a Giardini arowana is probably not going to be a fish for me. All right. I think if you've been listening to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast for a long time, you know that this next fish is a real good favorite of mine because I talk about them so much. And that is the Red Hook Silver Dollar, Myleus ruberapinus. I love the color that Red Hook Silver Dollars have. Nice silver color with a nice red and black anal hook and orange spots on their body. A very gorgeous fish. These fish can get up to 12 inches in length, and they are a schooling fish, so they would require a tank of about 90 gallons and up. I would personally go for a 6-foot aquarium and up. They go great with cichlids and other monster predatory fish. This is a fish I would recommend for large dither fish. They're going to draw out fish that are hiding, such as datnoids or aggressive cichlids that like to hide. And they eat just about anything. That's what I really like about the Red Hook Silver Dollar, is they are very easy to keep because they feed on just about anything. My next favorite fish is another monster that I really like, and I actually have two of these monster fish, and that is the red-bellied pacu. Now, this fish is commonly available in the aquarium hobby. Unfortunately, not too many people realize how big the red-bellied pacu gets. The red-bellied pacu gets to be about 3 feet in length, sometimes even bigger. You would need a massive aquarium to keep a red-bellied pacu for life. I'm saying maybe 300 gallons and up for a red-bellied pacu because they get really large. I have a home for my two red-bellied pacus. Once they outgrow my six-foot aquarium, they'll be going to a nice outdoor pond from a friend of mine that I met here in West Palm Beach, and I was very, very happy to hear that he would take my two pacus once they outgrow my aquarium. Red-bellied pacus are very hardy. They get their popularity from being closely related to the red-bellied piranhas. In fact, as juveniles, they look just like red-bellied piranhas, but you'll soon learn that they quickly outgrow red-bellied piranhas. They grow faster than piranhas. They get a big, bulky size, and they'll eat just about anything you feed them. So red-bellied pacus are a fish I would not recommend any old fish keeper or beginner to get unless you have a huge aquarium. Now, the next fish is a fish I actually miss. I had a nice school of this fish in Massachusetts right before I moved to Florida, and that is the clown loach. Clown loaches are an amazing fish. They grow to be about 12 inches in length, but it takes time with clown loaches. They are really slow growers. So if you have, let's say, 4 or 5 in a 75-gallon, you would be good for a year or so. But do keep in mind they do get up to 12 inches in length, so you would need a really large aquarium and a space to house fish that get to 12 inches in length. It is rare to see them big in the aquarium hobby. If you were to find, let's say, a 7 to 8 inch clown loach or a 9 inch clown loach, you'd pay close to $200 or even more. There are some monster clown loaches right now at Malone's Monsters that go for $200. A lot of people like the monster clown loaches, but it takes time for you to actually grow them out and get them to 12 inches. Now, what I like about clown loaches is their personality. They have the personality of a puppy sometimes. They'll actually play dead, and they'll allow you to interact with them. You put a net in a tank, and you're startled to think they're dead, but they're actually alive. They'll move and get up and swim away. They love snails, so if you have snail problems, they'll eat your snails and take care of any infestations of snails that you have in your aquarium. And they'll eat bloodworms. Very nice fish. I love the clown loach. Of course, if you have any questions on any of the fish species that I am talking about, my personal favorite fish species, you can call in and ask me questions on those fish as well. My next favorite fish is a large growing fish in a species of fish that are commonly sold as community fish. But this is no community fish because it reaches monstrous proportions. And that is the giant gourami, the red-tail giant gourami, and the albino giant gourami. These suckers can reach 3 feet in length and weigh about 10 pounds. Very heavy fish. And they need large aquariums, 6 foot and up. They get big quick, and they get kind of ugly as they get older. But I really do enjoy the giant gouramis. They'll eat pretty much anything you feed them, just like a regular gourami would, but they do get quite aggressive as they get older, and you can't keep two or more giant gouramis in the same aquarium because they'll often fight. If you get away with it, it's because you added them at the same time to your aquarium. I really do enjoy the giant gourami. I like that they have a good personality. They come up and greet you when you walk by the aquarium. And I think they have a face only a mother could love. I really do enjoy the giant gourami. Up next are Oscars. At one point, I was known as Oscar Alex all throughout my fishkeeping podcast career. If you remember Aquatic Wetline here on Blog Talk Radio, you'll remember Oscar Alex. I was obsessed with Oscars. I like Oscars because they have nice colorations. They're willing to eat just about anything. They're pigs in the aquarium hobby. They'll eat anything you throw in the aquarium. It could be market shrimp, tilapia, pellets, or even feeders. A lot of people make the mistake of feeding Oscars and other predatory fish feeder goldfish. You never want to feed any fish goldfish because goldfish contain many internal parasites and they lack nutrients. They have an enzyme in them that causes a lot of malfunctions in other fish. That enzyme causes fatty acids to destroy the fish. It'll lead to all sorts of diseases and illnesses like hole in the head and other terrible diseases. So I am against using goldfish to feed fish like Oscars. I mean, if you're going to feed them live fish, I would say guppies and tetras would be your best bet. But in the wild, Oscars don't eat fish usually. It's only their last resort. Oscars in the wild, believe it or not, are insectivores, meaning they eat insects, crickets, worms, whatever insect lies in front of the surface of the water. That is what the Oscar would eat in the wild. My personal favorite Oscar is the tiger Oscar. I'm a very simple kind of guy. I like the black color and the orange color and the orange circle on the Oscar's tail. Very beautiful. Big fan of the common tiger Oscar. I do like the veal tail or long tailed Oscars. However, I have yet to keep them. If I were, I would dedicate a tank just to them so that their nice fins don't get destroyed by other fish, because other fish would nibble at their fins and destroy them. All right, so my next two favorite fish are a species of eel. They are a species of eel that a lot of people don't consider true eels, and the fact is they are not true eels. They are in the family of spiny eels, which is a fish, but they are very nice. That is the tire track eel and the fire eel. Both eels get to be about 3 to 4 feet in length, so they do get rather large. However, they have a lot of personality. Once they get used to their aquarium and their owners, they will start feeding from the owner's hands. I fed live earthworms to these eels by hand and they ate. I fed krill, I fed market shrimp, bloodworms, and tilapia to them by hand and they accepted the food really well. They are a very personable fish. One thing that I found with tire track and fire eels is they are escape artists. They will find a way to get out of your tank. So make sure to cover up any holes that you have in your aquarium. When I had hang-on-the-back filters, I used to always find them hanging inside the hang-on-the-back filter, and that would annoy the crap out of me because it would dirty the tank. I have to get a small net, a real small net, and try to fish them out of there, and all the junk from the filter would go inside the aquarium and make a mess, and then I'd have to do a huge water change, and then the next day they'd be back in the filter again. So what I had to do was I had to get like part of a sponge filter, and I put that on the end of the intake tube, and that worked. When I had my fire eel, he never got into the hang-on-the-back filter again. But he did crawl out, and I lost him that way. I haven't had a fire eel in a long time. I want to say a couple of years. So I'm actually going to be getting another fire eel for my 6-foot aquarium, and that I am looking very forward to. So the fire eel is another favorite fish of mine. So those are some of my personal favorite fish. I'd like to remind all the fish keepers out there that you can be a part of today's show and tell me your favorite fish. Call in live at 516-418-5674 to tell me your personal favorite tropical fish. I'd love to have some callers tonight, so do call in. 516-418-5674 and tell me about your personal favorite tropical fish. Now I'm going to talk about saltwater fish briefly, and I'll tell you about my personal favorite saltwater fish until hopefully we get some callers. Niger triggerfish. I love triggerfish because they are like puffer fish and they have teeth, but the Niger trigger is a reef-safe trigger for the most part. You can have a Niger trigger in a reef community. Most of them are reef-safe. Again, with all fish, it comes down to personalities. You can have a nice Niger trigger, but you can have a Niger trigger also that will nibble at corals. So it just comes down to the individual Niger trigger. These Niger triggers can grow to be about 18 inches in length, or sometimes even bigger, and they would require a tank size about 180 gallons and up, and they like their salinity from 1.021 to 1.028. So the Niger trigger is one of my first favorite saltwater fish. I've had one Niger trigger when I had saltwater years ago. He was one of my personal favorite fish that I had, and it's something that I would recommend to anyone looking to do a saltwater predatory aquarium. I'd say a Niger trigger would be one of your best fish for that aquarium. Now we move on to a venomous saltwater fish. This is a fish that I really like. It is a foxface rabbit fish. My personal favorite foxface is the one-spot foxface. They have a nice black blotch on their yellow body. I also like the magnificent foxface and the bicolor foxface. These are allergy eaters and herbivores for saltwater aquariums, so they will take care of algae in your aquarium. You should provide them with nori and fresh vegetables in their diet. They will also eat meaty foods as well, like brine shrimp and bloodworms. They're not picky eaters at all. So if you were interested in having a fox face in your aquarium, know that they are really hardy and they'll eat just about anything. Zebra moray eel. The zebra moray eel is a real favorite fish of mine. I love the black and white patterns of a zebra. I love moray eels because they look so fierce and aggressive. But actually, moray eels aren't aggressive, only towards predators or prey that they want to attack. They actually look mean because that's how they breathe. The zebra moray eel actually can live with small fish with caution because they are moray eels that eat inverts, like the chain link moray eel and the snowflake moray eel. Maroon clownfish. My favorite clownfish is the maroon clownfish because they get the biggest and you can have one single clownfish. Usually with clownfish, people like to pair them up, but I like one clownfish because I like to have other fish in the aquarium. So if I were to do a 40-gallon breeder saltwater tank, I don't have to worry about having two fish take up space. I can just have a gold striped maroon clownfish. It is Christmas season, and a gold striped maroon clownfish is the perfect colorations for Christmas. Clownfish will eat just about anything, and they go perfect in a reef tank or a fish-only with live rock tank. Sailfin tangs are one of my personal favorite saltwater fish. I love the long fins that they have, and I love the colorations that they have. They look just like a yellow tang, except they have stripes and long sail fins, and it's something that I really enjoy. They are also herbivores. They like algae, nori, and other vegetables. So they get quite big as well, so they need a big tank like most tangs. Pink-spotted watchman goby, very beautiful goby. It is a shrimp goby, also known as a prawn goby. It pairs with a pistol shrimp, and a goby and pistol shrimp pair is a symbiotic relationship. It is what they do in nature. They get together and form a relationship. So it's I say it's very similar to a dog and a person. A dog's a man's best friend, and a man is a dog's best friend. Well, the same goes for gobies and pistol shrimp. The pink-spotted watchman goby grows to about 6 inches in length, and they'll eat just about anything. I fed mine market shrimp, tilapia, and it also took bloodworms, krill, and other foods. All right, I see we have our very first phone call of the evening. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, good evening, and how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Just wanted to give you a quick call. My name is Mike Hunt. I'm a celebrity personal trainer, and I wanted to tell you that I see some very amazing aquariums and fish to some of the famous people's houses that I go to sometimes, and they are just fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, they must have some gorgeous aquariums.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen, you know, like smaller sharks and all different colors of fish. And I had heard that, I may have heard you wrong, but do you have something against blackfish? Are you, like, racist against the blackfish? I mean, what's the story on that?
No, I'm not racist against blackfish. I love all fish, white fish, red fish, orange fish, blackfish.
Okay. Well, that's great. Now that we got that cleared up, I do train these people in a very aggressive and vigorous way. Like I said, a lot of these celebrities have amazing aquariums, but when I train these people, I am pushing them to the limit, right in their home with jumping jacks and burpees and squats and cock push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and jumping jacks and planks and leg curls and wrist curls and bicep curls and forearm curls and deltoid raises and shrugs and calf press and everything else. And by the time they're done with that, man, I'll tell you, they don't have the energy to feed their fish.
I can imagine.
Yes. So anyhow, just wanted to let you know there's a lot of people out there that have amazing aquariums and want to say thank you and enjoy your show, and you have a great evening.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. I enjoyed the call.
Thank you. Bye.
All righty. Anyone else is welcome to call in, 516-418-5674. Hopefully we will get some fish keepers calling in the show. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm going to do a quick little promotion promoting caller. So give me a second, and then I will get right back to my list of favorite saltwater fish. Again, if you wanted to call in, it's 516-418-5674. I do like callers, so I'm glad I brought Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast live on Blog Talk Radio, because I do like getting callers and interacting with people. It's one of the best things that I did since podcasting. So it's really good. And I believe that's like the third caller I had since I went live on Blog Talk Radio, so that's awesome. And I'm sure all my listeners like the entertainment side of the callers sometimes that we get. So they get entertainment with the callers and then informal information from me. So that works out. All right, so we talked about the pink-spotted watchman goby as one of my personal favorites. Then we have the diamond goby, which is a fish that is a filter feeder. Believe it or not, the diamond goby actually eats the little live microscopic organisms that live in the live sand in your aquarium. So if you want to keep a diamond watchman goby, you've got to have live sand for it to eat. Otherwise, it'll just starve and die. I was able to get my diamond goby when I had a saltwater aquarium to eat barker shrimp and tilapia, but it took a long time. So I made sure that I went out and got, I forgot what it's called. It's something you feed mandarin gobies and other saltwater fish. That is what I fed the diamond goby. Anyways, those are my first favorite saltwater fish, and I'm hoping that, again, I will have a saltwater aquarium in a couple of years. The last time I had a saltwater aquarium, I believe, was 2017, and that was 2 or 3 years ago now. So once I get situated with my 6-foot aquarium, I will indeed have a saltwater aquarium running as well. Right now, if I were to set up a saltwater aquarium, it wouldn't get my full attention because I'm doing everything I can right now on my 125-gallon aquarium. Like this coming Thursday, I'm going to be buying a lid for it. The weird thing is it came with a canopy but no lids. And since I'm going to be getting a fire eel and a silver arowana, and those fish like to escape, it's very important to have a lid. So I'm going to be getting a lid, and I will be making sure that the arowana and the fire eel will not be able to escape. That is something that is really important when it comes to fish keeping. And also, I'm going to be getting a light for my 125-gallon aquarium. Lights make you see your fish. And I haven't had a light on any of my aquariums in a while. All right, so I see we have a couple of callers. So I'm going to go ahead and take the first caller. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, my son. This is Rabbi Dean Pastor Kent Upper.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great, my son. I notice you're talking about fishies.
Yes.
Well, have you heard of the poonfish?
Okay, I'm going to take the second caller. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I apologize for that. What was that call about?
I have no idea. Sometimes you get some weird ones.
Well, yeah, that just threw me off track. Yeah. Well, anyway, I have several catfish, and I actually named them. One of my catfish's name is Mr. Sparkles. The other one is Mad Mark. That's one of them I call Johnny Longfeather. The other one's name is Don Cornelius. The other one I call J-Bo. Another one I call Bogey. For Bogart, I also have another. I have a white fish. I call him Jesco, and then I have a little brown fish. That's more of the hammerhead. I call him Juan. I like that name, and I have a rainbow fish, and I call it Marcus.
Nice.
I also have it's like one of the Nemo fishes. I call him the Cardinal. That's what I call him. I call him Cardinal Khan. I like that name. I think it's a great name. And have many other fishes. I don't know the types. I just know that I like to name my fish. I think it's wonderful that that you're as much of a fish enthusiast as myself. I have a little fish named Luther Manhole, and I call one Diggy Hopper, and one I call him Mikey Hunt, another one I call him Friend. I call him MT Friend for Internet Friend, up short. Then I got another, he's half white, half orange fish. I call him Honky. No offense to anyone. I just like that name of myself. My friend, Detective Supersonic, gave me a fish, and, I named him, I need a name for him, actually. But my two favorite fish, like I said, the catfish, they're mischievous, Sparkles and Mad Mark. They're always fighting on each other. I thought they were a male and a female, but it turns out they're both male. When I learned to tell them apart, I was, just learning the trade, if you will. So, I go down to my local pet store, and I got a fish named Bandit also. And there's a little the guy had a it was a little black fish he called Pastor Reverend Nickleton Jones. I don't know what all that meant, but I thought it was a funny name for a fish. You know, I didn't buy it because I thought it was just, I can't call a fish that. That's just too long. I mean, you know, I mean, do you name your fish like I do? I mean,
No.
Is that a little too personal?
Okay. No, I don't.
I'm the only one.
Sometimes if I like a fish, I'll give them a name like Hector or something.
Oh, like Hector. Well, I had another rainbow fish, and I named him Farrar 6969. That's just from it reminded me. It was actually a buddy of mine. It was his better half, if you will. But I thought it was. I'm just a fish enthusiast. I mean, I'm just excited, and I name them. I name all my pets. And I moved from town to town to hide my shame because I got to give my pets away. And I find that goldfish, if they can acclimate, then it's okay. I can take them with me. I just have to get the temperature right and the water right. And I think it's great. I also have a fish named Andy Luck, by the way. And, it's a Chinese, Bangladesh fish. And I call it, my call Kurtz. And it's a beautiful fish. It's big and round and swims really stiff, if you will, forward direction, almost as when he goes, it's almost a thrust, a hard thrust, and then he goes limp after a while. It's a beautiful fish. Sometimes I think it's
awesome.
Only got one eye, like a little one pink eye, I guess, if you will. It's just, it's great. Speaking of fish, did you hear about all the Chinese fish that washed up on the shore of California? Thousands of did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard of that. I haven't been able to watch the news lately because I've been so busy, but I'll have to check up on that.
It's on the internet. They're called they were actually like in the form of a cucumber. Some people describe them as the shape of
Sorry about that.
Okay. I heard some beeps. I didn't know if I was hung up on, but yeah, they had a fish named John Goldbunny and Anita Cox. Anita Han, Job, and Harry Pubes, and but these fish that washed up on the shore of California, they're calling them, I don't know who named them, if it was some whack kid that discovered them, but they called them penis fish because they're the shape of a
I've seen that today. I've seen that on Facebook.
Okay. Yes. I mean, was that real?
I think it is real. I didn't read the article, but I think it's actually a species of aquatic worms.
What are the odds of someone naming that a penis fish? I mean, why a penis fish?
I don't know. It's strange, but it's a name that will get people remembering it.
Well, I mean, I know my, California, you know what they say about that, but that's not the, I guess, if they're going to wash up anywhere, I guess it would be California.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in. I enjoyed your call.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll put myself on mute. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, I'm going to take the next caller we have. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Okay, it's enough of that. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you for calling in.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. I hear there's a lot of background noise. Are you in a big concrete structure or something?
No, because I'm in my living room, actually.
Oh, it sounded weird, like you're at a fish shop or something. But anyway, speaking of large concrete areas, I have a rather large unfinished basement at the bottom of my house. And I don't really do anything of value down there. My idea was I would turn my unfinished basement into basically one large aquarium, if you will. My thought was I would just put a hose down the steps to the basement, and I would just turn the water on, and I'd fill it up to about maybe 5 or 6 feet deep. First of all, have you ever heard of anything like this before? And secondly, can you give some advice for a first-hand basement aquarium setup? What kind of equipment would I need? Maybe some food I would get for the fish, possibly types of fish that would be appropriate for such a setup. Could you please give me some of your years of wisdom? I'm a novice.
Well, you would probably need to build an aquarium out of glass or acrylic, and you would need to use a lot of water. As far as food, it depends on what kind of fish you're going to have. Do you want fresh water or salt water?
excuse me, I believe you misunderstood me. I want the entire basement to be filled with water. I don't want a small aquarium. Do you understand? I want to just take the entire unfinished basement of my home and fill it with water and then put in fish. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, I don't know how that would be possible.
Well, imagine, just play with me here for a minute, because I like to dream big, and I don't want people to stand in the way of my dreams. Could you, if I managed to fill the entire basement of my home with water, unfinished, of course, just concrete, what sort of fish would you recommend? About 5 feet of water, 1,000 square feet, what do you recommend?
You could probably use glass around the entire footprint of your basement and then fill it with water.
You're harping on the glass. Pardon my ignorance here. Is glass an essential part of a home aquarium?
Yes.
Are you at a Walmart? I hear people calling on like a speaker, like they're calling to produce or something. Are you busy right now? I hate to interrupt you.
No, I'm not busy right now. I'm just hosting my show.
Okay. So anyway, enough about the glass. All right, I just want to fill the entire bottom level of my home, subterranean, with water. What fish would you recommend?
I'd recommend sharks and puffer fish and trigger fish.
Okay. Are you getting messages now? I just heard an alert that came on your computer. Okay. Well, you know, I asked you if I was bothering you, and you told me you weren't. But here you are. You're taking messages. So you could have been honest with me. Instead, you lied. So I see how this is going to go. So I'll talk. I'm going to call another show because you're not being very helpful and you're very rude. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Oh, that's funny. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, is this the fish show?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to call in and let you know, this is Michael Hunt, personal trainer, and, my girlfriend and I, we do have sex a lot. She has a big aquarium, and, my load, I ejaculated, and the fish were, like, eating it. I don't know if they can, like, see the sperm swimming, but I don't know if they're going to be sick now, man. Like, can fish eat, like, cum, or are they going to be, like, dead tomorrow morning?
Oh, God. That's funny.
Seemed like they liked it. No, they liked it, man.
That's funny. Okay, we're going to get back into chatting tropical fish. If there's any serious fish keepers out there, the call-in number is 516-418-5674. Okay, now we're going to get back into freshwater fish. And I like the wild-caught Peruvian scalar angelfish. They are very nice. Wild-caught angels are the way to go when keeping freshwater angelfish. And angelfish are very simple to keep. Red-tail catfish. I actually just got a red-tail catfish the other day. They get massive, so make sure to have a large aquarium. Tiger shovelnose catfish are a good favorite of mine. Lima shovelnose, ornate pictus catfish, four-line pictus catfish, Cynodontis decoris, and Hacer oriesis are some of my personal favorite fish and personal favorite catfish. Now, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of catfish. Right now, currently, I have a red-tailed catfish that's also going to go to that pond with the pacus when he outgrows my aquarium. I have a tiger shovelnose, a lima shovelnose, and a Cynodontis decoris, plus many more catfish to come in the future. So right now I'm going to take a quick little break. I'm going to play a promo for my other podcast that you guys should check out. And when I come back, I will continue chatting tropical fish.
Alex Cardinelli here, inviting you to check out my other podcast, my talk show called Alex Cardinelli Super Show Talk Down, where I talk about anything and everything, from current news, to sports, to crime, to cooking and baking. There is something for everyone on Alex Cardinelli Super Show Talk Down. It airs every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific. It's a fun talk show, and it's definitely worth a listen. So listen to my other podcast for fun, entertainment, and laughs. There is a special guest every week, so always something in store for you to learn. So check out Alex Cardinelli Super Show Talk Down, blogtalkradio.com/AC Talk Show 2019.
Okay, fish keepers, feel free to call in at 516-418-5674 to talk about your favorite fish. I'm going to take some more callers here. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Alex. Say, I just
Hi.
Heard the ad that you put together for your other program about cooking and baking hints. I got to
yeah.
say, I got a problem. I've got some people coming over, and I'm making these cookies. And it's but your basic peanut butter cookies, nothing special. I'm using Jif. I don't know if that matters. But I'm in a real problem deciding how I want to line the cookie sheet. I've got some people telling me that I got to use parchment paper. I got some people telling me that no, you got to spray it with nonstick cooking spray. And I got a really old lady who told me that I should really grease up the pan with lard. Now, I don't really know where I should go here. Could you give me any advice?
Parchment paper is the way to go. That's what professional chefs use when they're making cookies, cakes, and whatever else you're baking.
Excuse me. Okay. So parchment paper, is that readily available at grocery stores?
Yeah, you can get it at Walmart, your local grocery store. It's not really expensive. It's probably like $2 to $3.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good. Okay. Have you ever larded up a pan? This lady's telling me I got to really grease up a pan. It seems really kind of crazy.
If you were baking a cake, you would use cooking spray or butter and flour, but not cooking
spray. Oh. I've got a problem with the cookies that they'll appear to be done on top. And then when I go to lift them up with my little spatula doohickey, the bottom is like raw. So do you have any suggestions on what I should do?
I would make sure your oven is preheated before you put them in and rotate them halfway through cooking time. So let's say, for example, they take 10 minutes to cook. I rotate them after 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to stay on topic here, and we're going to talk about fish. Hi, you're now live on the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello?
Hello?
Alex? Ni hao shu shu, Alex. This Willie Wong here from Long Island. I have premium wild dwarf mud skipper for sale. One for 47A1 or 10 for 478.10. Any interest in the mud skipper?
Yeah, I never kept them before. I'd be interested in them.
Yeah, you have 47A1?
Sure.
Well, I'm in Texas. Where are you?
I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida, United States.
Oh, that's a little bit far. Can you drive and pick me up?
Where?
Texas.
That would take a long time.
I can meet you halfway. Maybe in Alabama. This one, the dwarf mud skipper had purple hole, and it's really good for breeding, but it's kind of small, one to two inch. Is that okay?
I could meet you for an Asian arowana.
Sorry, marijuana?
Asian arowana.
Oh, Asian arowana?
Yeah.
Oh, but this one is very expensive, so.
I know.
Do you have big money?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be for Asian arowana, and the purple hole is going to be $800. And I can meet you in Alabama.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for calling in.
Bye for now.
I enjoy some of these calls. Although I would appreciate a serious call every now and then. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in. Hello? Hello? I guess he's not there. All right, so the calling number again is 516-418-5674. Okay, so Now I'm going to talk about some other favorite fish of mine that I have yet to keep or I haven't kept in a while. Endodatnoids. I haven't had a datnoid or endodatnoid in a long time. Good favorite of mine. NTT datnoids. I really enjoy the NTT datnoids. Freshwater stingrays are a good favorite of mine. I like the Matoro stingray, and I also like the teacup stingrays, or also the marble Matoro stingrays. Polypterus ornate and Senegal bikers are a good favorite of mine. Ropefish are a good favorite of mine. Jack Dempsey cichlid, and Niger catfish and Bayless sharks. And my final favorite saltwater fish are lionfish, orange shoulder tang, flame angel, and bicolor angel. So those are all of my personal favorite tropical fish. And I'm going to continue taking calls. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in. Hello? Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you for calling in. No one there either. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you for calling in. Oh, geez. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you for calling in. All right, I'm going to take one last break, and then we will wrap up today's show.
Alex Cardinelli here, inviting you to check out my other podcast, my talk show called Alex Cardinelli Super Show Talkdown, where I talk about anything and everything, from current news to sports to crime to cooking and baking. There is something for everyone on Alex Cardinelli's Super Show Talkdown. It airs every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific. It's a fun talk show, and it's definitely worth a listen. So listen to my other podcast for fun, entertainment, and laughs. There is a special guest every week, so always something in store for you to learn. So check out Alex Cardinelli's Super Show Talkdown, blogtalkradio.com/AC Talk Show 2019.
Okay, so for all my serious fish keepers out there that listen to the on-demand part of my episodes, I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with entertainment and information from me. I'm going to take one more call, and then I will wrap up the show. Hi, you're now live on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Thank you so much for calling in. Hello? All right, we're going to end today's episode. I do want to thank everybody that called in and brought some entertainment to the show. I had a long day at work, so that was very, very helpful. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the show. Everyone that listens to my podcast on demand via Stitcher, iTunes, and other podcast platforms, I hope you enjoyed the show and my information on tropical fish. Stay tuned for the next episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. where I'll be talking about jade gobies. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Have a great rest of your weekend. And thank you for tuning in to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast.
I, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, would like to say thank you to all the wonderful Facebook Tropical Fish groups that allowed me to promote today's episode in their group. Thank you to all the amazing tropical fish groups on Facebook. I highly recommend my listeners join these wonderful Facebook fish groups to see all the informational, educational, and entertaining posts in these tropical fish groups. I highly recommend the following groups: SLA, Fish Lovers Anonymous, Just One More Fish, Aquarist Worldwide, Ohio Fish Rescue, Predator Nation, United Arowana, Paku Fish Keepers, and much more. I'm a member of so many awesome fish groups, so I recommend you as a fish keeper, you should join your favorite tropical fish group on Facebook. Do you have a favorite tropical fish group? Let me know, and I will mention it on our next episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I also want to say thank you for listening to this episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I appreciate your listen, and as a fish keeper, it's great talking to other fish keepers. So thank you for listening. Please leave a good review on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the other podcast platforms Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast is on if you enjoyed the show. Happy fish keeping, tank on, and I'll see you on the next episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast.